Talk. As you know, I'm Tego, and you can probably guess we're now shooting this show virtually because of everything that's going on in the world. And today, because we're based in Las Vegas, we wanted to talk about just what's going on in the music industry. With Las Vegas Strip being dark, and we have so many friends and family members that are in the business of entertainment, we wanted to talk with an entertainment expert. So I called up a friend of mine, Greg Coakley. He's been in this business for 30 plus years. He's watched it grow. He's watched it change. He's worked with artists such as Usher, TLC, Quincy Jones, Earth, Wind & Fire, Stevie Wonder. So I wanted to find out just what is going on with them, other than, of course, they're sitting at home too, and just where is the music industry going after everything opens up again. So sit right there. We'll be right back. Hey, Greg, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
You're sitting there with all your friends on the wall.
This is my mural.
This is your mural. For a man that's been in the music industry, let's just jump right into this real quick.
Oh, God.
How is this affecting you with all these gigs are shut down, all your friends other than hanging out on the wall? They're hanging out in their living rooms, too. Is your phone blowing up?
No, because they're terrified. Literally. And they're not afraid of the disease. They're afraid. Like a number of my clients have had tours canceled.
Right.
And the unfortunate thing is, whether people want to believe it or not, in this day and age, income is coming in from touring. So with tours closing up, you have a lot of artists that are hurting and are going to be hurt.
How far in advance are they canceling? I mean, they're not canceling for just 30 days. They're canceling how far in?
What do you mean, how far? And you're talking about
for the tours?
No, they've literally shut tours down.
To how far, though?
To indefinitely. And I honestly believe that a lot of these tours that are being canceled at this particular time aren't going to get picked up later, because what they're going to do is, I believe anyways, what they're going to do is, let's say this thing is over by June, hopefully before then, but let's say it's over by June. You have a whole host of summer tours going out, so you can't squeeze a spring tour into that lineup.
Right. And it takes, I mean, these things are planned a year in advance, sometimes 2 or 3 years in advance. And
These tours that are, like Carlos Santana is a good example. He was supposed to be in Europe, canceled all of Europe. He's supposed to be coming to Vegas, canceled. Now that may pick back up because that's not really a tour, that's a residence. But as far as the tours that I know of, they have all been canceled. And there's some promoters, Live Nation mainly, on announcing some of the tours that are going out later on.
Let's back up a little bit, because I've known you for 20 plus years and you've been in this game for quite a couple of years before that. And people may not know, you know, exactly where you come in at, but you've been in road management. I'm gonna let you just give a little bit of your resume so people know where you're at in this music game.
I'll give you the quick version. I started out in this music industry as a production manager for Maurice White, Earth, Wind & Fire, him and his brother. I kind of ran their studio for them and kept everything together for them. I went from there to actually touring with Earth, Wind & Fire, because at the time, Earth, Wind & Fire were on hiatus. So they were both doing more production than anything else. And then they decided to put the group back together. When they put the group back together, I actually went out with them as a road manager. And I would shift jobs between road manager, tour manager. From there, I went out with other groups as tour manager, parlayed that, or got maneuvered from that into doing management. And then for management, I just moved along the lines, whatever was available. So my most recent gig is music industry analyst. I've been in the industry for over 35 years. So I think I know a little bit about this industry. And what the big problem I see and what I deal with on a regular basis is most of the artists that I've dealt with in the past, Earth, Wind & Fire, and these guys, they don't understand this new digital industry. And this new digital industry is based on numbers. Everything's a number game. It's no longer a matter of, I want to go out on tour, go sell tickets. It's a matter of, I want to go out on tour, how many tickets can I sell?
Right.
And it's at the point now, if an artist comes to me and told me they want to go on tour, I could tell them the best places to tour because I can pull up their numbers and say, you know what? These are the cities, these are the countries that will pay for your tickets. and pay the most for your tickets. So I'm classified now as a music industry analyst because, like I said, all this is numbers, whether you're streaming music, whether you're touring, whether you're even trying to do a video. It's about numbers. What can you do on YouTube? What are you doing on social media? You know, where are these numbers at?
So where are these legendary artists when it comes to social media? Because you see these new guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see young kids, 10, 12 years old, they got 3 million followers right. on YouTube. Right. But you look up the legendary artists, some of them have a pretty good following, but they don't seem to be using that following.
Exactly.
Yeah, so right. where are they with that?
You know what? Most of them are sitting around. I truly honestly believe that this is going to be the best thing that ever happened to some of these guys. Because it's going to force them to really sit back and reconsider these things.
To use the tools at hand.
And what you brought up is quite true. What you have is, you know, some rapper. I don't follow rap, I'm sorry, but I don't really follow rap. But some rapper went over 1 billion views on YouTube. And it was a big celebration. Mm-hmm. Everybody was happy. I have clients that have over 1 billion views and they're old school artists. They just don't know what that means.
Right. So, it's just a number. So
right.
what?
So when you go to YouTube.
You know, and every once in a while, YouTube send them a check and they go, oh, thanks.
Right. And for the most part, okay. since they're not leveraging it, they don't get a big check from YouTube.
Right.
You know, but these young kids, because they grew up, I have a philosophy. My philosophy, and I don't know if I've ever told you this. I call this the music apocalypse. The reason why I call it the music apocalypse is because when Napster came along in 1999, it blew up. It helped to blow up the music industry.
Right.
The people that exist now are the post-apocalypse people. These are the people that learned how to deal with digital, with social media. They learned the value of streaming. They learned the value of video. Unfortunately, the artists before 1999 don't understand that. So you have, as a matter of fact, I have a client that I won't mention his name. He just got put on TikTok by his kids. And what is he doing on TikTok? The same stuff he did when he was doing MTV, you know, he's getting on it and he's talking. He's, you know, nothing.
He doesn't understand the concept.
He doesn't understand it at all. He doesn't understand it at all. And he's not alone because most of these guys, it's like putting a square peg in a round hole. You see a lot of them release because a lot of them, and this is another thing that a lot of artists don't understand. For the most part, and they may, and some people do take it as insults from me, but for the most part, they're indie artists. Even if they have a record deal, their label ain't backing them.
Right. Those days are pretty much gone, aren't they?
Yeah. So you got these young kids that don't have record deals, that understand how to maneuver this game, and then the record label's chasing them. Because the record label is, how did he get 5 million views? How is he number one streaming? He's got all these playlists on Spotify. How is he doing it? We need to sign him. So they give him a big check, they sign him, and then basically they fold their hands and sit back because they don't have to do a lot.
Right, they want a train that's moving.
Right.
Not somebody that has to, the old school way where they had to do everything.
Exactly. So now you get these old school artists that are chasing these record labels, trying to get a deal if they don't already have one, and the record label gives them some money to go produce a record. Once they give them the money, there's no support for that project.
So it basically sit.
99% of them release and die because they don't know how to do what these kids are doing.
So how do you fix that? I mean,
really is mimic the kids. Literally mimic the kids. The difference is these kids are struggling to develop a fan base. You already have one. Take any of these old school artists. Go online, whether it's, for the most part, most of them, their biggest following is on YouTube, which is the best platform to be on, in my opinion. So most of these artists have huge followers on YouTube. People have, you go to people's houses that are following old school artists, and they're literally playing YouTube videos for the music. You know?
Like we used to back in the day, listen to the radio, you sit there and play the playlist, Music After Dark and all that stuff back in the 90s. They're doing it on YouTube now.
So you have them all in one place. All you have to do is buy some ad space on YouTube and have it pop up while they're watching your video talking about, check out my new album. Check out my concert. Hey, I want to come to your town. Buy a ticket. Whatever. I mean, I make light of it because it seems so simple, but literally it's that simple.
Okay, so where does the traditional ways of management fall in that? Because so many artists say, well, I don't have a booking agent. I don't have a manager. I don't have, do you need those traditional methods still?
Not really.
Okay.
The reason why, the problem, again, like I said, I've been in this industry for 35 years. Most of these artists have managers that are as old as they are. So the managers don't understand it either. So the managers don't running around trying to get radio promoters to go out and try to plug them for the radio. And I literally hear this all the time. I have artists that will text me or email me to tell me that they just got on X and X so-and-so, they just got a spin on some radio station. Literally, I'm not exaggerating. Literally.
I didn't think that had the power.
It does.
But
for them,
okay,
it's their only measure. They hate, for the most part, they hate streaming music because they feel like it'd be a rob. So they don't really put a lot of faith in streaming, but they still think that radio could happen. And the debate that I get from people is, well, people listen to it during drive time. And they're listening. Yeah, they're listening during drive time. That's true. But how is it being leveraged? They're not going out and buying your record when they get out of the car. They're not driving the Tower Record, you know? So yes, you get a lot of radio play, but those same people that listen to you on the radio don't buy music.
Right.
So what they do is they sit around and reminisce. They'll hear some killer song by Luther Vandross while they're driving to work.
That's my jam. Yeah.
Then they get to work and they're telling everybody, yo, I just heard Luther. I love Luther. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, now let's get to work.
Yep, that's my jam. Or they go to one of the streaming media things and put it in their playlist there. And they don't buy it.
Exactly. So it doesn't equate to income at all. Mm-hmm. And what these old school artists forget about is what they had in the past, selling merchandise. They had fan clubs. They had all these things which supported their careers. And now those things have gone away, though they shouldn't. And during this time, this corona time, what we have to remember is if you're an old school artist and you're sitting at home, and so is your fan base, because they ain't going to work either.
Right.
So for you to jump on Facebook Live, Instagram Live, YouTube Live, and talk to them, answer their questions, you don't have to be on for hours. You can do 10, 20 minutes. And most of them love to talk to their fans. So once they actually do it and they get this interaction with their fans, the fans will probably be like, I got to go now. I have a life. But they'll love talking to them. This is digital backstage, right? And then once you get that flowing, the next thing is get them to buy something. I got this new t-shirt. I got deodorant. I got whatever. They will buy it. They just want a piece of you, so they'll buy it. And there's the stream of income.
So what about somebody who would love to be in management? Is it a dead, dying breed, or is there still opportunity out there for somebody that wants to do that?
No, there's actually good opportunity out there for management, because what happens is if you have the knowledge of today's music industry and you can get now, I'm not talking about managing some young kid. If that's what you want to do, fine. But really, the record label, the promoters, they pretty much got that sewed up. If you don't have a background really to be able to manipulate their money and cut deals with sponsors and promoters and stuff like that, being a manager, they don't really need you. Though, most of these young kids do hire managers. Not gonna lie. Most of them have a manager. And when you talk to them, the first thing they say is, I got a manager. My homeboy Billy went to high school together.
Is somebody in their crew.
You know? Exactly. You know? But when it comes to a lot of older, more established artists, if you can connect with one of them and you can actually drive them through what they need to do, you actually can create a career for them or resurrect a career for them and a career for yourself, because it can be very financially beneficial.
How do you get past the trust factor, though? Because they've been in this game for a while, and you, this new blood coming along, and they seem to not trust the new guy.
That's hard. I'll be honest with you. That's hard. Because most of these old school artists, I know you know these stories of been ripped off by their manager, got ripped off by the lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they found out that their lawyer was siphoning millions of dollars. So a lot of them are gunshot. And they're not just going to take anybody as a manager. So that part, you got to be creative, because I can't help you. I can't even explain how to do that. But it is a trust factor. And it is a matter of getting them to understand that they can trust you and you can deliver.
Now, you've been in the R&B game for a while. I mean, we kind of skipped over it a little bit. You talked about Earth, Wind & Fire, but there's some major performers, artists back there that you've worked with.
Yeah, most of them. Literally, most of them. I mean,
literally, most of them. Stevie Wonder, TLC. I mean, you name them, they're out there. Usher.
Yes. And Usher, exactly.
How did you survive this? I mean, this is a hard game. You look at it from the outside and it's like, oh man, you get to go to every show, you're traveling all over the world, but you're going to every show, you're traveling to every place in the world. I remember calling you sometimes 20 years ago and you say, what city am I in?
Oh,
what day is it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, how did you survive?
Well,
that
you know, I survived it. Especially looking back at it now, I've always been more about the business than anything else. So you've experienced it, and most people that know me experienced it. When you come to a show, I don't even see the show. I'm backstage. When the artist is on stage performing is the only free time I have to plan and move, work on tomorrow's stuff. So the way I did it is I just moved with the artist, got them together, did whatever they needed done, and then I really didn't take part in all that other stuff. I had work to do. When everybody else was going out to party at night after the show was over, I was going to bed because I got to get up at 7 o'clock. When you fools are still sleeping, I'm trying to book the flights for tomorrow or for next week or whatever. You know, when you guys are still sleeping, I'm on the phone with the record label talking about what's going on with this project and what our numbers look like. Because back then, especially before digital, actually not even before digital, before 2010. Nobody was following numbers digitally.
Right.
You know, so you still had these hard numbers that you were dealing with. That was what I had to deal with. So that's how I deal with it. It was never, I mean, I literally had artists, I'm not going to mention their names, but get pissed off at me because they say, you never watch my show. And then I tell them, I don't have time to watch your show. You know, and they would think that I was disrespecting them, why they didn't like their music. And it was none of the above. Some of them, I love their music. It's just that I don't have time to watch a show at more important to you. I'm the guy that are moving the pieces around the board.
But this isn't something you majored in at NYC. I mean, you had to learn this yourself. This is something.
Bootstrap.
Where did you learn this?
This is bootstrap.
Okay.
You know, this again, the short story, met Verdine White. Introduced me to his brother, Verdine, all respect in the world to him. He saw something in me that I didn't even see. And he was like, I want you to do this here things. And I'm like, I don't do music. Started doing it for him and the pieces just came together. The pieces constantly came together. And I'm, as a matter of fact, Stevie Wonder calls me the problem solver. And the reason why he calls me that is because I solve problems. Not to brag, but that's what I do. I do it for my family. I do it for my kids. I do it for my friends. I solve problems. You give me a problem and I'm not going to stop until it's solved. So as they were moving along, trying to make certain things happen, I would fill in the gap.
And I have to testify to that because I give you a hard time all the time. But when I got a problem, and I am a problem solver, I'm the creative one usually. And when I got something going, I call Greg, you know, I'm like, okay, this is where I'm at. What do I do? And you're like, wait a minute. Do this, do that. Why you bother me? Go away. You know?
And the thing about it is I never apply, and people do this all the time, but I never apply it as the music industry. I apply it as it's a problem.
Four reasons your business needs to go mobile today. One, if your site or mobile app is hard to use on a mobile device, you'll drive your customers to your competitors. 61% of people said that they'd quickly move on to another site if they don't find what they're looking for right away. If they don't like what they do find, 79% will look elsewhere. Two, having a mobile-friendly site can boost your business. 74% of people say that they're more likely to return to a mobile-friendly site in the future. Three, you may not get a second chance. First impressions are powerful and lasting. 46% of people won't return to a website they'd had trouble accessing on a phone, and 57% won't recommend it. 4, good mobile experiences can drive revenue. 67% of mobile users say that they're more likely to buy a product or use a service offered by a mobile-friendly experience. Create a mobile app and mobile website today and gain an edge over your competition.
So the government says, hopefully soon, all clear, we can go back to our lives. Mm-hmm. Where do you think the music industry is at that moment?
Playing catch up. Okay. I don't care if it happens next week. They're going to play catch up. Because like I said, they're not going to say, oh, all clear, we're going to put this tour back on. They're not going to do that. They're going to focus on the tours down the road. So a lot of these artists that have had their tours canceled or postponed are going to find out that their tours either been moved somewhere else or it's not going to happen. So when the government says all clear, they're going to be scrambling to say to get things rolling again. And that's why, my personal opinion, I think this whole virtual thing is so important, because you have two major concert promoter companies in the world right now. But as an artist who can control his fan base, you can develop a lot more power over what you do. And during this time, if you're sitting at home and you're doing a once a week live Facebook Live where you're talking to your fans, if you do that, I can actually tell you where every one of those people are. I can tell you so that when you go to negotiate with whoever the promoter is, you can say, look, I'm coming to Philly. And I know, I already have 3,000 people in Philly said they'll buy tickets.
So my question is, why is there not a digital Greg? Why is there not, you have all this knowledge. I mean, we're touching the tip of the iceberg of the knowledge you carry. Why is there not a digital Greg that these artists can go to and watch a webinar series?
GregCoker.com. Okay. Just go to GregCoker.com. Okay. Everything that you need to know, including how to contact me, is right there at GregCoker.com.
Because they need you.
And what I'm doing now is I'm ramping up GregCoker.com, where I'm actually going to start posting more stuff about what they can do and how they can do it. Quite honestly, the reason why I haven't done it in the past, because they wouldn't have read it. So why waste my time? But now that they're trying to figure this out, I think they'll be more open. And what I'm going to do a lot is going to be a lot of videos. There are going to be a lot of videos that talks about all these various elements. You know, understand Facebook analytics. You know, it sounds complicated. It really is. You know, understand the power of Instagram and what it can do. Understand the power of your video. And if you got 200 million views of a video, what that equates to financially if you decide to leverage it. So those are the things I'm doing with GregCoakley.com. So yeah, that's where they can go and find the digital Greg Coakley. And I'm quite willing to answer any questions they have. I have a link on my site where you can actually link and send me a message. And I have my email on the site where you can send me an email and ask me any question that you have. And I'm quite willing to answer questions. You know, even on my site, on the About Me page, I talk about how I feel indebted to these older artists. They're the ones that gave me life. And it really makes me upset when I see them withering on the vine. You know, you got some 20-year-old kid that's driving a Bentley and stuff and throwing champagne parties and stuff. And here it is, you got this artist that's truly an artist that has grinded all these years. And their income is slowly dwindling away. They have a Bentley, but it's a 1997 Bentley.
You're wrong.
You know?
You are so
and
wrong.
They can actually compete. It's not that they can't. I got to say one more thing, and this is what I tell people all the time. You got this young kid. No disrespect. I'm proud of these young kids that are doing this. No question. But you got this young kid that's making all of this money. And when you look at his numbers, you have the equivalent of his numbers. The difference is your fan base actually have money and jobs.
Right.
You know? So your fan base can buy your stuff. Whereas this young guy, his fan base are buying things. Most of his money's coming from either spending his music on the streaming services and advertisement and sponsorships. That's where most of his money's coming in. you can do the same thing, because believe it or not, as an old school artist that was around in the 70s and 80s, there's products out there that your fan base buys. Here's what I do. I look at TV and I see all these drug ads and it's like, oh, take this hair pill and stuff and it'll do this, this and that. Why can't one of these artists get a sponsorship on that? You fit in that demographic.
Yeah. And they don't even think about it.
No, they don't.
But they don't have you.
Their managers don't think about it. Their managers don't think about it either. But the bottom line is, if I see some hypertension medication, and no disrespect for the people that's in the ad, I'm happy for them. They got gigs. But when I look at this guy that nobody knows, and he's doing this ad for hypertension medicine, then I take this artist, whatever his name is, that everybody knows, talk about influencer. Right. And he gets on TV and he says, I have hypertension and I take ABC medicine. Do you know how many eyeballs are seeing that and paying attention to it now because it's him?
Exactly. Exactly. I totally agree.
You know, so those are the things that I want these artists to understand, is emulate what these kids do, because they're doing it. They're going out there, they're getting money from the alcohol companies, they're getting money from the sneaker companies, they're getting money from all these companies, because these companies understand that these kids will buy this if they see this kid with it.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, your audience has a lot more money, a lot more disposable income, and good credit.
And on that note, I got one more question for you and I will let you go.
Okay.
You are 60 plus.
Yep.
You've been doing this for 30 plus years.
Yep.
You do not seem to be slowing down.
I'm not.
Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Where I see myself in 10 years is all this stuff that I'm talking to you about, as far as the digital world, me being the go-to guy for old school artists that are trying to move their career forward. I don't care if you're trying to go over mountains or you just want to. On my website, I said it, get what's yours, because they're not getting what's theirs.
And on that note, we're going to close this out.
Okay.
You are an amazing guy. I said it on national television. I'm never going to live this down.
Well, I've known that and I've told you that for all these years.
You guys are watching Expert Talk. You know who I am. I'm Tego, and I'll talk to you next time.